And I have a lot of fun. Oh my God. It's the Pee Wee's Christmas special with Chloe and Sarah Gunwales.
Sarah.
Well, y'all, we're here to talk about it's post-Christmas. But we're here to talk about the most important Christmas special that has ever occurred on this earth, as far as I'm concerned. Welcome to our first Twitch stream of Salute Your Skorts.
The very first one. If y'all are in the comments, say hello. It looks like we have someone in the comments already saying
Hi, Allie.
hello.
Hello. You're probably a little too young to know about Pee Wee's Christmas special. But I hope you've seen it. That would make me very happy if you've seen it.
And if not,
Sarah.
you should definitely watch it because I had not seen it until Chloe asked me to watch it, and it was magical. It was magic. It
Who
was the
you're
perfect
on?
way. It was the perfect way to kind of bring in the new year.
Allie, I think after watching this stream, you will want to watch it. It is truly my favorite holiday tradition every year to watch, and this year was no exception as I was recovering from surgery with some good pain medication. But this is something that for years I've watched. I have the VHS of it. I, of course, now stream it because this is the year of our Lord 2022. Oh my gosh, new year. But I recently talk about pre-Rona Christmas because this was such a tradition for me and it was on Netflix. I forced my boyfriend Ty's family to watch it, and it was weird for them. They were like, "You watch this every year?" And I was like, "This is the best Christmas special that ever lived." And I think they just kind of tolerated it. But I'm so glad that you got to watch it for the first time. Oh my goodness.
It was so amazing. I'm pretty sure my mom had seen it because it came out in 88. Is that right?
Yes.
87?
I have a
It came out
whole.
like right around the time when we were born. And so yeah, I'm pretty sure my mom had seen it, so she watched it with me and was just like cracking up. She said it felt like coming home watching it, like with
Yes.
Cher and just everyone. So
Katie Lang, Annette
oh,
Funicello, so
Charo.
many people. Star-studded lineup, which honestly, so to give you some context, you were right. This came out in 88. I'm going to give a whole history of Pee Wee Herman because you've come to the right place. I am oddly obsessed with this man and his legacy. But this was in 88. So this was after two seasons of Pee Wee's Playhouse. Did you watch Pee Wee's Playhouse, Sarah? Was this like part of your childhood?
I do remember watching it. However, it wasn't like this huge part of my childhood. Like while I was watching this Christmas special, I was like, yes, I remember the couch. Like I remember the phone. I remembered everything about it, but it wasn't like I remembered it beforehand. So.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I just like clicked on this thing and it went live. So I grew up with Pee Wee's Playhouse. It was syndicated on TV by the time, so let's see, it stopped airing in the 90s. They had episodes from 86 to 90. I was born in 89. So these were on reruns on television, but my parents bought me two of the VHSs, which I still have. One is Ice Cream Soup, the episode where he like makes soup out of ice cream. And I think the other one was Pee Wee's Christmas special, because this was like a constant watch in my home, regardless of the time of year. And the Christmas special came out after about, let's see, 23 episodes of The Playhouse had come out. And the origin of Pee Wee Herman and The Playhouse is very fascinating. Are you familiar with the Groundlings, Sarah?
No.
Okay, it's not a bunch of groundhogs. So the Groundlings is very similar to something like Second City. It's an improv kind of like a lot of folks in LA go there to study like improvisation, comedy. Some of the great Lisa Kudrow famously is from the Groundlings. Conan O'Brien met Lisa Kudrow at the Groundlings. So this was like a breeding ground in the 80s for like the Groundlings had just popped up. So if you're not familiar with Second City was started by Del Close, who famously did a show with my dad. This is a true story. And he told my dad that he did the Chicago conspiracy trial with my dad. And he said, when I die, I want my skull to be put on display in the lobby of the Second City Theater. And I want someone to do a production with Hamlet of it. And that happened. That's a real thing.
Did
Like
it
you are a thing.
really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Who did
This
it?
is
Who
Del
did the production?
Close.
No. I mean, who who performed Hamlet
Oh, I don't know.
with
I'm
his
not
stole.
sure. Canonically, I'm not sure. But I think at least it was used as like a prop in like an improv scene for Hamlet. At minimum, I'm sure. But he did have his skull on display in the lobby.
That's
Really
amazing.
interesting dude. But around this time in the 80s, improv was huge. It was kind of
Yeah.
a improvisation had always been around, but as far as like think of these folks, so there were stand-up comedians like Jerry Seinfeld, Larry David, you know, all those folks, Jay Leno with stand-up. And those were folks who did pre-written material typically, but they had like an improv background. But there were these schools, and they still exist today. Second City is a huge one, and it's where they pull a lot of Saturday Night Live folks
Yeah.
from.
I've heard of Second City for sure.
There was also Second City in Canada. There was SCTV, which had Rick Moranis and oh my gosh, Catherine O'Hara and all those
Oh.
folks, those lovely Canadian. Oh my God, Martin Short. All these folks were like doing improv, and there's sort of been these waves, right, of like schools of improv. So there was like that wave, and there was like the whole Amy Poehler, Matt Besser of it all, like more recently in our era. But also folks like Kristen Wiig is from Groundlings. And all these folks, you know, you move out to LA, you take an acting class
Got
from whoever,
it.
but this is where like the real
So Second City was
serious
in New
folks.
York, right?
They have multiple locations. There's
Oh,
LA, New York, and I think Canada. There might be one more.
okay.
But it's sort of these schools of improv, schools of comedy, schools of acting. So like for me, as a musical theater major, I studied at SF State, where we learned things like Stanislavski method and like Stella Adler method. There's all these like methods of acting, right?
Okay.
And in improv, which up until like the 80s was not really like a studious art form, right? Like with Stella
Right.
Adler, you know, there's like it's like realism with like certain, you know, Stanislavski, it's all this different stuff. But
Yeah.
the whole concept of like yes and is like
Right.
improv concepts, things like that.
Yeah.
And part of the Groundlings, for this particular class that Paul Rubens was in back in the day, you had to develop a character. And this is pretty standard for like any kind of comedy. I mean, like when you audition for SNL, you have to bring like a bunch of characters with you, or you do like
Yeah.
impersonations, things like
I
that.
mean, I know this from famously the best improv, actor of all times, Michael Scott, and his character just always had a gun, and was ready to. Sorry,
That's
that's
great.
my
Or Prison Mike.
Prison Mike. Oh gosh, Prison Mike.
Prison Mike, one of my favorite improv
Those
characters.
Dementors.
With the Dementors. I'm sure that was all. And that's what's really interesting. And probably a lot of people who just watch these shows for enjoyment and aren't freaking nerds like me, shows like Curb Your Enthusiasm, The Office, Reno 911, most of these are improv scenes. And you can tell mainly because people are talking over each other. But you can also tell
Or
because.
there's also like improv actors or
Yes.
writers, but they like I've been listening to the Office Ladies pod, and it's surprising how many scenes I thought might be improv, but were just like written by Mindy Kaling, like because she's just
Totally.
an improv comedic genius that she could like predict almost what would make sense.
And there's different kinds of improv. Like sometimes you just go in and you just like completely improvise a scene, but sometimes you go in with an idea or a character. And that's a huge part of like this particular like study at the Groundlings was you had to develop this character and kind of do like a one person showcase kind of thing.
Got
Typically
it.
there's like a showcase at the end of a, you know, more senior class of like improv stuff. And the Pee Wee Herman show, which eventually would become Pee Wee's Playhouse, the TV show, started as this like niche indie underground, like, so you have to remember this is pre-internet, right? This is the 80s, early 80s, early to mid 80s. And I guess he had developed this character, Pee Wee Herman, who was sort of this kind of like bossy, almost like nerdy, but Peter Pan like kid putting on a show kind of in his room kind of thing. And this became this huge underground success in LA. Like it was the hottest ticket in LA. And this is before it even got on TV. Like every celebrity and their mother wanted to see this like Pee-wee's. It was basically a more raunchy, darker version of what we know today as Pee-wee's Playhouse, which recently got revived a couple years ago. Alex Timbers directed another staged version of it for a limited run in New York. And I have all my characters here. I have all the action figures. I'm a huge freaking
Oh,
Pee-wee
that's
fan.
amazing.
These are from Super 7, this really amazing toy company. I've got Billy Baloney and Randy.
That's amazing.
I also, and we talked about this on our pre-holiday special, I've got Cherry here as well.
Yes.
I have my original Pee Wee Herman doll, which still has the pull string. Let's see if you can hear it. It just like squeaks, which is kind of the charm to it, right?
Oh my gosh.
And we just talked about it on the last episode that famously my mom worked with a woman with one of these in the box and was like, this is going to put my son through college. I don't think it did.
Cute.
But I'm a huge Pee Wee fan. I've read a bunch of books on Pee Wee. I grew up with a set designer who worked for my dad, who worked on the original Pee Wee's Playhouse set, which I thought was like, you have touched
That's
greatness. Like, oh.
amazing.
But this was my Sesame Street. I watched Sesame Street, but this is like what I gravitated towards as a kid, which
Yeah.
honestly says a lot about this. Like, it explains quite a lot.
What was my Sesame Street?
Probably Sesame Street.
No, it wasn't. It really wasn't. I can't even think about it. I don't
Fraggles?
know. Maybe,
Muppets, maybe?
yeah.
I mean, Muppets are
Maybe.
Sesame adjacent, I guess.
I can't even remember. I feel like I just listened to all of my mom's Madonna records and like danced around and had tantrums. That was my Sesame Street. Anyways, continue.
So that's super interesting context here, right? Because you have to remember, by the time Pee Wee's Christmas Special came out in 1988, Pee Wee was a household name,
Yeah.
okay? Like people in LA specifically, which is like the entertainment world, knew who Pee Wee Herman was. And it wasn't,
Yeah.
I think once, I'm just looking up when Pee Wee's Big Adventure came out, because I have some things to say about that as well.
Also,
Another
if
one.
folks are watching this either live or on a recording and actually visually seeing this, because I mean we are recording with video today, if I'm making weird faces, it's not because of what Chloe's saying. I still am recovering from my knee surgery. So if I'm like looking down and going, that's why. Just disclosure.
Oh yes, Rachel W says 1985. So to give you an idea, and I had the distinct honor, Sarah, of, let me pull it up, meeting Pee Wee Herman. It was such a treat,
I
such a dream.
don't think you've ever told me this.
Oh my God. So I, this was right as Rona was spreading. So I had just gotten back from Prague and I was super jet lagged, but like then I flew back to Oakland in the morning, and then that evening I had tickets. And this is before we knew anything was going to shut down, right? I think like when I was in Prague, my boyfriend was like, "Have you heard about this COVID thing? Like, maybe you should come home." I'm going to share my screen here in a sec. But basically, I got tickets to this well before this Prague trip was planned, and I was like, "I have to go." I got a VIP ticket. I was like, "I'm going to meet him at the meet and greet. I'm going to tell him how much I love him." And here is my picture that I took with him.
Oh
I
my
dressed up as
God.
Shiwi, which
Oh
is
my God.
female, not to be confused with the urinal, which we recently were discussing. But here's me with Paul Rubens, and it
I
was
never seen this picture?
truly like one of the best moments of my life. We chatted, we took a photo
Oh my
together. We
God.
talked about like, I was like, hey, I want to make children's television content, all this different stuff. It was so magic. And the interesting thing about this performance was, oh my God, it was so unique. So it was at like the Masonic Hall or something in San Francisco, pretty big venue, and you weren't allowed to bring your phone in. It was like this special thing called, like, I want to say, not Sonder. There was some sort of company there where you put your phone in this bag, it locked, and
Okay.
you left the phones. You almost like valeted
Got
your
it.
phone. Like, no one
Yeah,
was
yeah.
allowed to have a phone. And he, oh my God, this tells you like what point of Rona this was, because he did a meet and greet, and this was the
Yeah,
last stop
yeah.
of the
You're
tour. This was
standing next to him, and this was
literally next to
February.
him. And I remember he had hand sanitizer. So like that's the point of like early 2019 this was, or
2020.
2020. And it was so interesting because nobody was allowed to have a phone. You only were allowed to have a phone in the meet and greet, but it
Right.
really kind of required you to be super present and talk to the people
Yeah.
around you because nobody had a freaking phone. And I was there by myself. It's not like I was going to drag my boyfriend to this crazy thing. And everyone, literally everyone was dressed up. This was stop two of like a 10 stop tour he was doing for the 25th anniversary, I believe it was, or the 30th anniversary, I guess this would have been some sort of major anniversary for this,
Yeah.
for Pee Wee's Big Adventure specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was so interesting because they played the movie. So we all sat in a theater together, watched the movie. And you have to keep in mind, I saw about 100 of these dolls. Everybody brought their Pee Wee Herman doll. Everybody was dressed up. Everybody was like cosplaying Large Marge and all the people from the movie. It was honestly so wonderful. And everyone was present because nobody had their phones.
That's so neat.
And then Paul Rubens comes on stage with this huge stack, like a binder, right? Like physical papers. And he sits down and he goes, "I want to tell you about the making of this film." And not only did he share all of these never before seen black and white images of him and Danny Elfman, who was like 20 something when he did the music for Pee-wee's Big Adventure. It was also directed with Tim Burton. So it's this young 20, it made me feel like I had accomplished nothing in my life because I'm looking at these pictures of this young, like I think Danny Elfman had like braces. Like he was just like really, they were
Oh
young
my
men. And
gosh.
he told this really interesting story about, you know, he got the deal to write this film. Originally, he was obsessed with Pollyanna, and the whole plot was just Pollyanna, like shot for shot remake for Pollyanna. But then he was on the, I think it was the MGM or the Warner Brothers lot, and he noticed that all these people were on bicycles. And that's where he got the idea to like have the whole plot be about his bicycle being stolen. And to this
Right.
day, Pee-wee's Big Adventure is used in film school as the most perfect script. It's like 15 minutes in, you have a problem. Another 15 minutes in, you know, you have like the journey that needs to happen. It's like
Right.
known as like the perfect script that's ever been written. And watching it back, I was like, this slaps. This is one of the best films. It's funny. It's
That's so
aged very
cool.
well. It's so many amazing, iconic actors in it.
I
But
want to rewatch that one so bad. We'll have to do another one,
we'll have to
another
do it.
episode.
I've actually never seen Pee-wee's Big Top or the most recent one that he did. So I would
Yeah.
love to do. I mean, we
I've
have to do a whole
watched Big
episode on the Playhouse.
Adventure. Yeah, I've watched Big Adventure like 100 times, but yeah.
It's so good. But the best part of this evening, Sarah, and like, thank goodness, because I'm one of those like ambiverts who last minute's like, I'm not going to go to this thing I bought tickets to, even though I like paid $50 for this ticket. Because I'm like very excited to make plans. And then like executing them, I'm just like, I would rather just lose that
Same.
money to like hide under a
Same.
blanket. But I'm so glad that I went because the most interesting part of this evening, which I can't even begin to describe, is he had all the original footage from M so MTV had a red carpet. So this was 85, right? Or yes. MTV had a red carpet and they let Pee-wee, Paul Rubens as Pee-wee Herman, interview everyone Joan Rivers style as they entered at the Grauman's Chinese Theater, I believe it was. And this was everyone from like Mr. T, the Go-Go's, the Bangles. Like we're talking 80s peak celeb 80s, and
That's
he's showing us all
amazing.
this footage of him interviewing them, and everyone's coked out of their mind because it's
Of
85
course.
and just stoned. You can tell everyone's just like, ooh, just like so many drugs, just like all the drugs. Famously, my dad was on the Warner Brothers lot to watch some sort of, he was doing some director stuff, and the bathroom there was just like lines of coke. Like this was just like what the 80s were like, just like, oh, care for some coke, young man. So after he shows us this footage, which literally is like people entering the red carpet and then everybody at the after party just like drinking and like, you know, oh, the
Yeah.
movie was so great, everybody go see
Yeah.
it. He's like, the reason you will never see this footage anywhere is like in today's age, is that no one's publicist would ever let them get on
Yeah.
camera
No
with this many
way.
drugs in their system. And I was just like, this is a time capsule of the 80s that like is truly a
That's
beautiful moment.
amazing.
So
That
it was
is
really
so
lovely.
funny.
He like shared all these amazing stories. I wish I could remember all of them, but basically him and Tim Burton had bonded over just having this like very eclectic taste. And you can see in this image all the stuff on the front lawn. Most of the stuff was Tim Burton's like
Oh,
stuff.
I totally believe that.
Like they really bonded over just this weird, kitschy, almost like John Waters mentality, like kind of weirdness. And like I think he even Paul Rubens talked even about like he was really picky about who he wanted for the director, and like he just like knew when he met Tim Burton that it was the right person. And Tim Burton had just come off of doing Frankenweenie, which was like this sort of like
Yeah.
niche hit at the time, and he did this really interesting, dark, I want to say Japanese, like Hansel and Gretel that I ended up looking up on YouTube that was like really weird and avant-garde and interesting. So like his portfolio was like weird, and Paul Rubens was like weird, and they're just like, let's make friendship rings. We're gonna be best friends forever. But this film, I mean, The film itself in eight, so that was 85, and now we're talking about Pee-wee's Christmas special. So this is like after the Playhouse, the movie, like there was already a lot of canon in this world. And you probably remember that the movie is very different than the Playhouse. Like the house is different. It's sort of like different realities.
The movie
But
is like if Pee-wee lived in the real world.
yes. And it's a little bit more, I would say like Pee-wee's Playhouse is like made for kids, whereas Pee-wee's Big Adventure is a little raunchy. Like
It is, yeah. And like the best ways. And it's like, you know, Large Marge is like terrifying in the best
right.
ways. And yeah. It's, I think it's,
And I read
I
this
also,
book about just like the history of the Pee-wee and the Playhouse and everything. And I haven't seen Pee-wee's Big Top, but apparently the reason why, like, critically it was not, you know, kind of people didn't like it is he has like a relationship. And like Pee-wee was always considered sort of this timeless, boyish, you know, like I don't very Peter Pan, like I don't like girls, yuck. Like every time Miss Pavan tried to kiss him, he was like, ooh. And so I think what ended up happening, I haven't seen it yet, but we should cover it on the show with Pee-wee's Big Top, is like it got kind of oddly sexual, and people were like, not my Pee-wee, like please no. But I loved Pee-wee. I mean, I was young enough to just like it just brought me anything where it just like furniture
It's
comes
just,
to life, like Brave Little Toaster, Pee-wee, I'm there. I'm freaking there. Toy
totally.
Story, I'm
Totally.
there.
I do think it's kind of interesting that, you know, speaking from someone who recently saw it, like for the first time, it's like you just said, there was a ton of canon already out there. And like, there was already this film, like he had already been, you know, doing his show for a long time, and celebrities all knew who he was, right? And
Right.
like, I think that the fact, like starting this Christmas special, it felt very much just like, you know, like the ball drop where someone is hosting
Yes.
a party, and it was literally just a Christmas party hosted by Pee-wee, and it felt very like, let's just have fun, let's just, like, it didn't feel cash grabby. Like, I feel
No.
like if someone were to do it today, it would feel cash grabby, like, oh yeah, you just paid that influencer or that
Even
star to
when you
come onto
watch
your
like a
show.
Muppet movie nowadays, you're thinking like, oh, how much did they have to pay so and so to be in this movie? You know
Exactly.
what I
This
mean?
did not feel like that at all. It felt like everyone who came, like, wanted to be there. And I'm sure, like, I hope they got paid to be there too, but like, it didn't feel like that was a part of the discussion. You know, it was more just like, let's have fun this Christmas
You
kind
know
of
what it
thing.
reminds me of, which ironically involves Pee-wee Herman, and we were talking about this recently in a group chat with friend of the pod, Brandon Minnick and PJ Metz, is so if nobody's watched if you haven't watched What You Do in the Shadows yet, the TV series, I mean watch the movie. The movie is incredible, but the TV series is great. And there's an episode, I want to say it's like no spoilers, like season finale of season one, where basically Taika Waititi called up out of the blue every random celebrity who had ever played a vampire. And we're talking everyone from like Brad Pitt to like the lady from Westworld to like Danny Trejo, like everyone. And basically whoever responded got to be in this episode where it was like the Grand Council of the Vampires. Paul Reubens is one of them because he's
Amazing.
canonically played a vampire and I can't remember right now, but he's great in it. And that's what this, like that episode is the closest I've ever
Yeah,
felt to this. Like
that's
that scene
exactly
from
how it felt.
Anchorman where all the celebrities are in it, where they get in the fight.
Yes.
That's the only thing akin to this that I can think of, where it's like, why are all these people together? And it's like they're having so much fun. They probably didn't get paid that much for it. They just like had a great
Oh,
time. But
I love
truly,
that.
like I feel the same way watching this. And that's why, so I was looking at the trivia. Let's see if I can find it. There are a couple little interesting trivia tidbits, but what I figured we could do, Sarah, is kind of like go through all the celebrities and talk through our favorite moments and some highlights. But here's an interesting little. So I too was like interested on like what was shooting like for these things and how long did it take? Because I'm sure like Charo was one take, right? Like she's just such a immaculate professional that she's like Feliz Navidad, and she just like did the whole thing. But there's a couple interesting facts here. One is that Cher basically was like in the middle of a tour, but was like, I have to do this Christmas special. And like, you can kind of tell when she's on camera that it's very rushed. And she's like, all right, bye. And she's like literally heading on a jet to like go and do a world tour. But there was even, there was a couple of things. While I bring up the trivia, tell me like what your impression was going into this watching it the first time. Like, what were you expecting?
I don't even think I had an expectation, because what I know about Pee Wee is it's just kind of chaotic. And you had told me that there was a bunch of guest celebrities. So that was the only kind of information. I like did not look anything up, but that was the only information that I had, was that there were, you know, a bunch of guest celebrities. And so I just kind of went at it like we were just talking about it. Like, this was just something like that I was going to be able to witness. And then, you know, right when it started, and then my mom just started being like, oh my God, this feels like home. Like, this feels like these are all of the famous people of her like young 20s, because she was 24 in 88. Right. And so it was just kind of like, I don't know. It was just kind of like, yeah, I didn't have any expectations, and I think it met them in the best ways. Like, it kind of was just like, yes, this is just an experience. I took zero notes, so I'm going to be heavily relying on Chloe for,
you should
like,
have been present for this.
I couldn't take notes. I was just like, I had to just be watching, you know.
It's interesting that you mentioned that it felt like home for your mom, because for me, this was my introduction to a lot of these people. Like, I had no idea who Annette Funicello was. I had to ask my mom, and there's no internet. I was like, who's this lady? And my mom was like, like randomly on TV, she'd be like, oh, that's the lady from Pee Wee's Christmas Special. I'd be like, she old? Like, what? Like, it was very confusing to me. I always, whenever I think of potatoes, I think of Annette Funicello and her green teeth. I also had no idea who Grace Jones was. Like, let's talk about the representation in this special. It's many amazing people, like Whoopi Goldberg, Lawrence Fishburne, of course, famously.
Oprah.
Oprah.
Amazing. Cher, Magic Johnson, like.
So here's
so many.
So Katie Lang, who for whatever reason stands out the most. So Katie Lang was the first lesbian that I saw on TV. I can canonically say that, because I remember when I was Ayla's age, when I was 3, I said, mommy, like, why is her hair cut short? And why does she like what? And my mom's like, oh, you know, like some women like other women. And like, so like, this was like the first like openly lesbian person that I saw on television. And this is like pre Ellen, pre any of that. But this trivia fact here says Katie Lang was asked by Paul Rubens to be on the show after hearing her first record, and which was given to him by issue of Warner Brothers. Her segment took the longest to film, nearly half a day.
Wow.
Wouldn't have expected that that would be the longest one to film, but there was a lot of interesting camera work. And I remember that song being long for whatever reason. But love Katie Lang. That was my introduction to her. My introduction to, I mean, I don't think I knew who Oprah or Whoopi Goldberg was. Like, for me, they were from the Pee Wee universe. Like,
right.
I was like, oh, Cher, Charo. Like, I knew Charo from this and Thumbelina. That's all I knew her from. I didn't know her as a recording artist. And same with, I'm just looking at some of the other people here. Oh, Magic Johnson. Had no idea who Magic Johnson was. Yeah. I knew he hung out with the magic screen. Here's a Magic Johnson fact. In order to secure Magic Johnson's appearance, the producers had it arranged to film just under an hour on a Saturday, and he had a game scheduled later in the day while he was with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay, do you know what I love about Magic Johnson, which I don't know pretty much anything about him other than that he was on Pee Wee's Christmas Special and then the thing I'm about to tell you. But just like these two facts are creating this story of who he is in my mind. I just rewatched the Magic Johnson episode of Nick News with Linda Ellerbe.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember this.
Yeah, it was when he had retired from the Lakers the first time, and he retired because he was HIV positive. And he had said in his announcement that he wanted to help children understand what it meant. And so Nick News immediately reached out to him and was like, to his team, you know, and they were like, if he's serious about this, we would love to have him on Nick News. Because, like, I don't want to go too deep into it because I think we should do a whole episode on this, but Nick News was a true news for children. Like, it was not dumbed down at all. Like, Linda Ellerbe is a journalist, and it was not like talked down to. It wasn't like about kids' issues. It was about issues that affect people, including kids. And they worked really hard not to, like, you know, exacerbate issues. Like, they didn't want to, like, that's not the right word, but, like, they didn't want to, like, glorify or, like, make money off of, like, you know, talking about these really big things, but they did want to talk about real things. And so he accepted, and he went on to this episode to talk about what, you know, like, how he became HIV positive, like, you know, how he got HIV, like, all of these things. And
he's done so much amazing charity work. Like, my aunt used to do a lot of charity showcase things in the 80s and 90s. And he was always an LA presence, just like always speaking out about AIDS. Like, there were a lot of concerts happening around this time, especially in the 80s. Shout out to Magic Johnson. And he's great on green screen. Like, how dare he? He's so funny and, like, lovely. Oh my God.
It feels like he's just got such a genuine heart. Like, you know, I don't know.
Even just, like, the diversity of types of people on this, like the ice skater, the sports people, the singers, the talk show hosts, the, like, canonical Lawrence Fishburne, Miss Yvonne, you know, all of those folks from, like, the universe. And to me, this special feels like canonically the sweet spot of, like, all of the Pee-wee canon. Like, it obviously is, like, separate from the films and stuff like that, but it just feels like when Pee-wee's Playhouse was the most Pee-wee, and you just accept that the entire choir of Marines from the men's choir at UCLA is just there. You don't question it. They're just there, and that's okay.
No, it's true. Like you said, like, I don't like it when people say diversity in this show when they really just mean, like, there is a Black person on the show or a Latina person on the show.
He draws something. He does a sport. He, like, there's so many things that happen. Like, he does a craft with Annette Funicello. And like, it's one of those things where you watch this show. And I think as a kid, that's what drew me most to Pee-wee's Playhouse, is on one given episode, which is like 20 to 30 minutes with commercials. There's so many things that would happen. It was different than, like, something like Rugrats or, like, which would come later, or even just, like, Fraggle Rock, where it was one plot line. It was like, okay, we're going to do this. Now we're going to do this. And when I did children's theater, like, as an adult playing a child or a crayon, that was sort of the joy of children's theater, because one minute you'd be doing a sad song about how the crayon is naked, and then you'd be like, we're happy and we're on strike. Like, you have to, like, have so many different visuals and colors. And I think this was even, like, the first robots that I saw on TV, you know, famously Conky, as I have the toy here on,
like,
the
real robots for sure. Yeah, I mean, there was, you know, the Jetsons had robots, but that was a cartoon. So,
and if you remember, it was very popular in children's television at this time, because really the only children's television that existed that was similar was Sesame Street. And if you remember, I mean, to this day, on Sesame Street, especially back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, they had all these little interstitial, you know, like, cartoons and, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, like, stuff like that. And Klasky Csupo, who did Rugrats, all these different things, pre-Rugrats, and Real Monsters and, you know, all the different things, had this animation studio that, like, so you have to remember, like, back in the day, really the only people doing, like, claymation and stuff mainstream were, like, Tim Burton, a little, which was, like, technically a Disney offset, like, he kind of got fired by Disney, and then also Klasky Csupo, which did some stuff maybe for Sesame Street, but remember, like, on Pee-wee's Playhouse, they were like, now it's time for a Penny cartoon. That was them. Like, that was all coming from them. And it had a very unique, like, raw. It's not like Paw Patrol. It's not like the kind of, like, it's not like Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, or as Sarah's daughter calls it, Mickey Mouse Vagina House.
Yes, canonically now.
That Sarah did this week. Love when children start talking about butts. But it really, I think that's what really spoke to me, because I grew up in the theater where there was just, like, so much grotesque stuff. And my mom built all these, like, really incredible costumes. And this was, like, the only thing that I saw on TV where I was like, I remember getting upset because I wanted to live in this world. Like, his little, like, medicine cabinet thing that just had, like, the toys that went by, like, I wanted all that. And I think that's why I ended up working in tech, is I'm like, I want to build all this, like, stupid stuff. Which I do.
I think, totally. I think that's a good point, though, like, in terms of, you know, like Rachel just said, this was a real kids variety show.
Absolutely. And just the fact like Kablam that, like, was.
Exactly. I was just about to say, like, the fact that, like, for example, Klasky Supo, God, I'm so bad at saying it as well. You know, a
How do you
lot of
even say
their,
it? Klasky
it's just, it's,
Kasubo.
well, you know what? Actually, I know it's Supo because I just
Supo.
realized it, his first name is Gabor, which is Hungarian, which Adrian's Hungarian,
Ah,
and a
yes.
C followed by an S
Supo.
is a S sound. Whereas if you were to do
We're
just an S, it
learning.
would be a Z, no,
Love
sh
this.
sound. Anyways, so there's no K.
Rachel's
Anyways.
totally right, though. It was like it was almost like, remember the Gong Show? Remember how weird
The
the Gong
Gong
Show was, like
Show.
on Game Show Network? It was just literally the show where like weird it was like a variety show where a lot of the groundlings would go on to.
Yeah,
It was just like
I do
weird
remember
people would
now.
go on
Yeah.
and then they'd hit the gong. It was basically the
Yeah.
original America's Got Talent,
Yeah,
but
yeah.
like really
Well,
hokey.
but I was gonna say that, like, Klasky Supo, I feel like they brought a lot of that realism into everything they did, even through the 90s. Like, you know, there a couple of their most famous animated shows were, you know, Rugrats, All Real Monsters, The
Which was
Wild Thornberries,
grotesque. All of it was
Rocket Power,
grotesque.
As Told by Ginger. Like, all of those were very honest and true, and then a little fantastic. You know what I mean? Like Rugrats, like, it was like the point of view of a baby, but not just like, oh, baby, baby, you know, like the point of view of, like, yeah, they're gonna stick things, they're gonna stick worms in their diapers and then try to eat them, you know,
Well,
like
even just
All Real
like as an
Monsters, like,
adult,
oh.
Stu, like that whole gif or meme or whatever of him is like, "What are you doing, honey?" And he's like, "Making chocolate in my life," you know, whatever.
Yes.
It's like, oh,
Yes.
they're real adult human people. And I think that's
Yes.
even with All Real Monsters, it's like this monster has armpit hair. It's weird. All of the and like Ickis
All of
totally
it.
had anxiety. Like
Yes. Yes. You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah, I mean, these were just like such like, and I think this is just such an interesting time because you have to remember that like back in the 80s, there was no internet. Really, the only way you heard about people was sort of like word of mouth and portfolio. I think even like when South Park came out, it was just like a VHS that people were just like passing around. And like one of my favorite Fred Armisen like shticks that he did is just this VHS that someone uploaded onto YouTube of him like pretending to be a tap dancer and auditioning for Stomp and getting like way too far through the audition process. Or just he even goes to this like doctor's conference and just gets on stage and starts giving a talk. And it's like the way that people, they didn't have YouTube. So the way that they shared this stuff
Yeah.
was just like, here's a VHS, like watch this
I
weird
love
video of
that.
this guy. And
So,
that's sort of how all these weirdos came together, where it's like, I know a person and this person does this. And oh, well, this person can build the set. And like, it was just all these
yeah.
creatives coming together to make this incredible show.
So, speaking of not having YouTube and not having the internet, you know, I think, and please tell me in the comments or, you know, tweet at me. The only person that I have seen really, you know, successfully pull off this idea of creating a character and just being wacky and wild and really doing a ton of improv is Colleen Ballinger with her Miranda Sings. Like, and I mean, not successfully
You
ever. I
mean
mean,
recently?
I mean, like, in the YouTube space
Oh yeah, I mean,
specifically. I mean, there was Shoes, right? That was,
right.
but like, I mean, like, yeah, a little bit more recently in the, like, if you were to define a current YouTube, you know, celebrity in the last 5 years, I think she's pretty much the only one. And I mean, she's got her show, like, she does a live show, she has her channel, like, but she has this whole character. And
In a
it reminds me
universe
there,
and
a whole universe.
characters,
And then she got her
like,
real show, like her Netflix, not that her YouTube show
right.
isn't real, but like she got her Netflix show,
I mean,
which, you
she's been
know,
on Comedians Getting in Cars Getting Coffee.
yeah,
Like, she's, yeah,
she's
you know,
amazing.
now
And
that
I
you
think it's kind
mention
of
it,
interesting.
I'm
Like,
trying to
is it
think.
that, like, I wonder why we don't see, is it that a lot of actors tend to still want to go in a more traditional route now that, like, Second City and all of these things are actually very much traditional for improv actors, or I don't know, it's just kind of interesting. Like,
Honestly,
why don't we see more?
as an actor, I would say Nowadays, it's very rare because, like, as an actor, you want to be open and available for different roles and parts. And I think the fear with something like Miranda Sings or with Pee-wee is that you get pigeonholed into that because Colleen Ballinger is like an incredible singer. Like, she's beautiful in real life. And really, the only thing I've seen of her outside of Miranda Sings, she's incredibly talented, is the Ariana Grande music video where she's
No,
super
she was in
pregnant.
Waitress. She did a stint in Waitress.
I mean, so did Lisa Rinna
I'm just
in
saying.
Chicago. But sure.
I'm
She's
not in
no,
the
girl's
musical
got
theater world,
range.
so don't tell me. I
Girl's
mean,
got range.
you don't
She
have
was
to like.
no, she was incredible in Thoroughly Modern Millie. There's clips of her playing Miss Dorothy. She's great, but that's the problem though, is like that was before. And I think it's really hard. Like people, because even with someone like Todrick Hall, who I think was in Waitress as well with her, is like Todrick plays so many different parts and things, and he has a universe, but he's not playing a character. And I think that's why a lot of actors try to stay
I think it's
away. Even
also,
like Zach Galifianakis, like it took him a while, and even Will Ferrell to like get out of the anchorman kind of trope and get cast in serious things like, you know, Trick Next Door. So, and even like we see this a lot with people like Ben Stiller, Kristen Wiig, like in time with their comedy, but it's really hard when you stick to one character or you get known for a certain thing. Even for myself, like I played mostly quirky sidekicks and ingenues, and that's all that I did. And I think probably the reason we don't see this as much is really there's no, everyone is just sort of being themselves or a version of themselves typically on YouTube.
Well, and it's a lot, as we
I
know,
mean,
it's a
I won't
lot
mention
of
his name, but
work.
Blippi. I'm
It's
rolling
a
my
lot
eyes.
of work to have your own essentially record, like, you know, like studio, like you are everything when you're on YouTube. And so to do that for multiple characters would be very difficult. So I could see why getting on something like SNL or something like that would allow you to experiment with characters. And then, like you said, even being on SNL sometimes can pigeonhole you a little bit
Like, look at
too.
Bill Hader in Barry. Like, these people who, but for me, like, I've actually thought about this because I want to make children's television content. And shout out to our friend Cecil. We were working on something for a while and we talked about this. And it was like, okay, do we play ourselves? Do we play a version of ourselves in this
I
universe?
think about
Like,
this daily.
and there's like the Wild Kratts are technically kind of playing themselves. Like, there's all these different shows. And I think, you know, it probably is really hard too to like turn on the Pee-wee thing. Like, my dad ran into Paul Reubens once on, my dad went to a filming of 90210. He was like shadowing someone and he told me, you know, I saw Paul Reubens on the set and I want to say hi to him, but, you know, I didn't want to bother him kind of thing. But like, you have to remember that when people aren't like, this would happen to me all the time as a children's theater performer. The kid, like in between shows, I'd go to Target and a kid would see me and be like, it's Blue Crayon. I'd just be like, don't fucking talk to me. It's just like in
Totally.
Reptar on Ice where they take
Well,
the, you know, costume off.
we heard about this from Steve on Blue's Clues, right? Like he all of a sudden realized, oh my gosh, these kids think Steve from Blue's Clues is real, and he is. And I'm talking directly to them because I'm staring through the camera at them. I am influencing them, but this isn't me, and I'm losing myself because my name is also Steve. And he was just like, I need to get out of this. He felt like it was a big responsibility, plus just kind of the loss of identity.
And that
So I
makes
could definitely see
sense.
that.
And I
I've
think
thought
like
about that too, just like you said, and just making like simple technical content for kids. Like I have a second YouTube channel where I want to do that, but I haven't even gotten started again because I kind of just want to be myself, but that's not really effective for kids learning things.
well, even think of people like, you know, people like Hilary Duff. You know what I mean? It's taken her a while to get out of that like character. I mean, she was even going to do like the revival of Lizzie McGuire, right? And I think it's very interesting in today's age. I feel like we demand so much from our entertainers and our performers. They can't just be an actor. They have to be like a singer, actor. They have to do serious work. They have to do comedy. Like, you have to be serious enough that you can be in an Oscar winning. It's like Lady Gaga, right? Like, so funny. So talented, amazing singer, can go on SNL and fucking nail it, can also be the musical guest. Look at Billie Eilish recently on SNL. It's like you have to be everything. You can't just be like Hugh Jackman, Broadway performer, Wolverine. You know what I
I
mean?
mean,
It's like
Ariana
you have to be
Grande.
everything. Yeah. Ariana Grande, who was great in Don't Look Up. We can't talk
She
about
was
it
great. I
too
thought it
much,
was
but she was
so funny
incredible.
when someone was like, oh my God, she was so good and Don't Look Up. And I was like, She's an actress. So like, so do you great. Not know?
I'm going to read off a couple, all the celebrities that are listed on IMDb, because we need to talk about all the people in this film. So we have our main lineup, right? We've got Lawrence Fishburne, aka Cowboy Curtis. Oh my God. Some of his earliest work, which I love watching in early Pee-wee's Playhouse. So, so, so good. There's a couple people missing from this. Of course, Captain Carl is not present. Unfortunately, this amazing human man, wait, let me look at his name. He's totally Captain Carl is played by, wait, Pee-wee. Wonderful, wonderful improviser. Who played Captain Carl? Phil Hartman, who was on SNL, you know, Coneheads, everything. He was in, was he in Coneheads? Yeah. I feel like he was in Ghostbusters and a couple, he was in everything at this time. But we have Lawrence Fishburne. We've got Susan Kent, who played Miss Renee. She was a reoccurring character as well. Now, do you recognize, this blew my mind, do you watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I've watched a little bit.
Charlie's mom is Miss Yvonne. Yeah. It's the same actress. Lynn Marie Stewart, an amazing, another Groundlings performer. So Susan Kent, who played Mr. Renee, is from the Groundlings, as was, I believe, Phil Hartman as well, or maybe he was Second City, I'm not sure. Lynn Marie Stewart, Miss Yvonne, also from the Groundlings, I believe. So these were all like, the core kind of group was a lot of improvisers from the Groundlings who were in the original. Like, so this is co-written by John Paragon, who is the voice of Terry, the pterodactyl, I believe, and a couple other folks as well. And I believe he's also John B, the genie. Yes, he is. And he had a very, very close but tumultuous collaboration with Paul Rubens over the years. That's a very interesting thing to read about. I'll definitely link to the book in the show notes. We've got William Marshall, the king of cartoons. What an icon. Loved every time they showed one of those vintage cartoons. The Countess, Fish, Flower, Globy, all played by George McGrath. He did a majority of the voices for the Playhouse. We also have Vic Trevino, Ricardo, which I always loved the like very kind of sexiness of Ricardo.
Yes.
Like he was just sort of this like, I don't know. He seemed like way over sexualized for like a kid's show, but like it was implied, it was never said. So obsessed with him. Wayne White did the voice of Dirty Dog, Fish, Flower, Mr. Kite, Randy. So we had like the core players here. But then on top of that, of course, I have Paul Rubens. We have Frankie Avalon as himself. And I love that they play themselves. Like that's the joy of this universe. It's like the Pee-wee's universe is real and we live canonically in this universe. We've got Frankie Avalon, Charo. We've got the Del Rubio triplets, which I remember reading in the book was just like this singing group that they were like, why are you putting them in there? They're not a celebrity. And Pee-wee's like, we have to put them in. I'm sorry, we do. It's just like, it's my movie or it's my special. We're putting them in. Annette Funicello, Whoopi Goldberg, Magic Johnson, Grace Jones, which used to, she didn't scare me as a kid, but I was like, why is she in that box? And what is she wearing? Is she cold?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, is this metal on her boobies? Katie Lang, Little Richard, so much energy. I remember being like, who is, like, this was my introduction to all these people. I was like, who are these people? They're such caricatures of themselves. Joan Rivers, who I'm pretty sure some of these celebrities like Oprah, Joan Rivers, Whoopi Goldberg, it was a Zoom call that they just like edited into the movie. Because for anybody who's never seen it before, it's just sort of like the first Zoom call. It's like these little soup cans and they're talking to each other.
Hence
and
my
clearly
background.
People couldn't make it on set. So they're like, can you just record something in your studio? And they sent it over. Dinah Shore, I had no idea who that was at the time. Oprah Winfrey. And Zsa Zsa Gabor, which I remember at the time being like, who is this crazy one? Who are these people? Also, Cher, of course.
Of course.
The UCLA men's choir. There's so many cameos.
So
but I think
many.
If I had to pick my favorite moment of this, I mean, obviously all the fruitcake stuff is hilarious. And the culmination of it at the end with building the room out of fruitcakes is like such ingenuity. But when I think of this movie, or I guess special, Sarah, I always think of Charo and Feliz Navi Blah, because like, that was my favorite part. And she's so wonderful, and she's playing guitar, and she looks amazing. Ugh,
that was just part. The, like, that had to be my favorite part. It really did. I mean, every single person was absolutely amazing, but just, I could not stop laughing at Feliz Navi Blah. And, and like, I just, I don't know. It was just perfect. It was just too perfect.
And it's very, like, I think the reason why Pee-wee's Playhouse A spoke to me so well, but B just like spoke to so many people. Because again, when I went to this live show, everybody was like 30 something, and we all had our dolls. And that was a big thing Pee-wee got into as well. When he agreed to do the Playhouse, he was like, I want officially licensed Pee-wee merchandise. So this was one of about five different toys that he put out. Another one was a Billy Baloney like marionette doll. He like modeled a lot of it after like the great, you know, Howdy Doody and things that he grew up watching. So like merch was huge for him, and he wanted toys. He was very specific about the toys, so much so that they gave him the feedback that this would happen. That it like over time, but he was like, no, it has to be the classic. He's like, it has to be a pull
But
toy. It
that's
can't be a push the
perfect, I
button.
feel
It
like.
has to be a pull toy. And he was so specific about his art that a lot of people in this book that I read said it drove people crazy to collaborate with him because he was such a specific director who like knew what he wanted. And he'd be like, no, go back, like redo that thing. Like, I don't like the way, like, but it really shows in all of the work that he did, because it was such an attention to detail, and the world and the universe was just like so magical that like it really people like Tim Burton and Pee-wee, who are just like if anybody hasn't read the recent Nightmare Before Christmas article that came out, I think by SF Gate, about how they did all the animation here in SF, read that article. It is wild, and it really speaks to the level of detail and finesse that people like Tim Burton and Pee-wee Herman truly, you know, really, really valued. But it's just such a, like, I don't know. I think because all of these actors play it so honestly, like, that's what, like, comedy for me, like, there's slapstick and there's, like, over the top kind of, like, impersonation stuff. But when I think, like, the reason that I love this show so much is you believed when you watched the Playhouse that Yvonne, Miss Yvonne, was in love with Pee-wee and, like, wanted to kiss him. And, like, the stakes were high for her. And she, like,
Well,
wanted all
that
these things, and like Pee-wee would get upset about certain things, and you like related to him.
I think that's what's so critical when you have a more like improv world building moment
Yes.
is that it's like you have to take it seriously and you have to have all of your guests take it seriously. But the fact that I feel like every single guest, every single one walked in with the mindset, Pee-wee, like Paul Reubens is Pee-wee. I am
Right.
in Pee-wee's Playhouse celebrating Christmas with Pee-wee right now. And the fact that you felt that from every single person, every single guest, every single actor, it just felt so real. And I feel like that's what gives it like this really nice polish while still being totally zany and wacky.
It's like that meme that I saw a week ago that I sent you, and I definitely sent to our sister pod, the Hold Up Pod. Shout out to Molly and Sam, where like when they did Muppet Christmas Carol, that everyone's like, "Great, we're gonna do Muppet Christmas Carol," and Michael Caine's just like, "I will play this with the seriousness of every fiber in my being, that every Muppet is a human person, and this like I will do this like a freaking Juilliard
I feel like
performance."
that's why I also loved Don't Look Up because I felt like everyone except for Leo was really obviously like good at like comedy as well. Leo, I think, can do comedy. I love him as an actor in general, but I felt like he played it a bit more like it was a drama. And that I felt like just made it even funnier. Like,
Oh my
I
God.
didn't need him to be funny. You know what I mean?
This has
Like, he
just
was
become
funny because of the
very,
circumstances.
this is so full circle because there's a manual for improvisation, and it's a book by Charnel Halpern, Del Close, and Kim Johnson, Del Close of Second City, Poor Yorick, the Skull fame, called Truth in Comedy. And that's really what we're seeing here is just like when there is truth in comedy, like that's what makes certain performances like Kristen Wiig's performance in Bridesmaids, like it's so truthful and you believe it, and that's what this whole like truth in comedy is, like the theme of Pee-wee's Christmas special is like everyone is there, they believe in the magic, they believe like they so earnestly give, it's not like here's your fruitcake, like it's like I got your fruitcake, and it's like so much funnier because it's just like piled on. Ugh, what a treat, what a dream. Any
I think
final
we should wrap
thoughts?
this up. I mean,
Yeah.
first of all, I hope that Jai Diwani, I hope you went to sleep. mentioned in the comments, it's 3 a.m. Omar was mentioning that Hugh Jackman's a great actor, a great singer. We did get some comments that on the Instagram, follow us at Salute Your Skorts. We do some polls every once in a while. That Grace Jones was just
Oh my God, an
like
icon.
that was the favorite. That was the favorite.
Ba-dum-ba-bum-bum. I will
Oh
never
God.
hear that
I think
song ever the same way after
I
that.
know. I
And did you
think
notice the innuendo joke that it was like, no, I was supposed to be sent to the White House. Like she was like some sort of like gift to like, I guess it would have been Bill Clinton. No, who was it?
no. Reagan, Reagan.
Reagan. It's like the Playhouse. Oh, the White House. It was like, oh my God, this is so funny. And all
Oh my
those jokes
God.
as an adult like don't go over my head, and I'm like, this is freaking great. Like the whole putting what's her face on like the first day of Christmas, and he puts like the dummy in and he like keeps singing that, like that's brilliant. It's all just so good.
I think final thoughts for me is just I need to go watch Pee-wee's Big Adventure again. And honestly, like I kind of want to watch a lot of these guest stars in their prime. Like I kind of want to like experience like I don't know, just as much as I can of their acting, their sportsmanship, their singing, whatever it was when they were in their prime. And I think I want to just do like a deep dive on that.
Yeah, I mean, truly, it would like take you years to just
I
like
know.
dive on
I
every single
know.
like, and I think that's like
Okay, fine,
that was such
a shallow dive, a shallow
a
doggy
shallow
paddle,
dive.
but like
That's like why I love this so much, because like as I was watching it recently, I was like, oh, I didn't know who any of these people were until I watched this. So I sort of had the reverse of what it was supposed to be, where it's like, oh, we're doing a Christmas special with all these celebrities. I instead, this was a learning experience. Like, who is
Yeah.
Chara? Who is Cher? Who is, like, a child
Yeah.
should not know who Katie Lang is, but I did. Like, so many of these people, like, I knew
Yeah.
from this and then learned about their careers after. And I think that's really the magic of this special is like, what a magical way to get introduced to Cher and Whoopi Goldberg and like figure
It
skating
makes them feel so
celebrities.
approachable and
Yeah.
like, you know, like
And
if
you're like, how
Pee-wee
cool
had
that
them
they
on the
did
Christmas
this.
special, then, you know, they must
Yeah.
be good people.
What a magical
Well,
treat.
oh,
Well,
Omar's asking, what is a Pee-wee? So
that's
Pee-wee
just his name,
Herman,
kind of.
yeah, just his name. It's spelled Pee-E-E-W-E-E.
But I also feel like
And
peewee football is a thing, sort of like little league football, kind of. So, like, the
yeah.
term peewee is sort of like pipsqueak, sort of. Like,
Yeah,
a,
like
like, wee means
little.
small. P means
Yeah.
P. So, Pee-wee.
Like, yeah. So he just created a character named Pee-wee.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you haven't witnessed any of his shows or movies, we highly recommend it.
I have
But
homework for everyone, including you, Sarah. I believe it's on HBO. It was an HBO special. There is a, and I think it's on YouTube as well, the live, so there's Pee-wee's Playhouse, and then there's the Pee-wee
yeah.
Herman show, and I highly encourage
Right.
everyone to watch that because it's staged and it's scripted, maybe
Yeah.
semi-improvised, but it's very kind of grungy and unique. Alex Timbers, who directed Beetlejuice, Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, oh my God, Peter and the Starcatcher, so many amazing, amazing things that have come out recently, directed the recent stage version, which basically was a like a an updated version with a modern day Pee-wee. But the old version from the 80s is on YouTube, so seek that out.
Nice. Okay.
And
Okay. I
yeah,
wonder if it's going
everyone.
to be on to HBO soon because the original network was HBO,
I
so.
think the new one is on HBO and worth checking out for sure.
Oh.
And it's very much better. It's not a bootleg, so it's much better production quality. But the
Yeah.
original has, you know, Phil Hartman and like some of these original
Yeah.
folks in their 20s, and
That's awesome. I love
it's really
this.
unique to watch the original because it's so grimy. It's like the original Grease, how like Grease the movie is a little grimy, but it's like sort of a crotchless, sexless version of it, and like the Broadway version is
I
like
love
very, they like
this.
sing about
Yeah,
gonorrhea and
yeah.
stuff. So it's worth watching to see what the origin is of it, and I'll also tweet out the name of the book that I have been mentioning through this. It's on my Kindle,
Yes, I
but
want
it's
to
a
read it.
really
I want
great
to read
read.
it.
And for anybody out there who's looking to create children's television content, this is literally the playbook for how to do it. Like
I definitely want to read it.
I devoured this book.
It
Anyway,
reminds me
y'all.
of of Stephen King's Just Writing or whatever his book is called. So, you know, I'll write horror and do children's TV shows.
Yeah. I gotta go to therapy. I will see y'all on the
I gotta do
Instagram, on
physical
the Twitter.
therapy. Thanks for joining us live.
And we hope you enjoyed this post-holiday special, and we will see you all very soon. Bye.
Bye.
Ooh, I gotta play the outro music. Okay, hold on, hold on, hold on. You know what? We're not gonna do the outro music. We're just gonna end it.
We're just gonna say bye.